Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today is actually his second appearance on the show, because this is the kind of guy you want to get as much out of him as possible, because he managed the e-commerce operations at a global consumer products company over 6 years. And then he spent 2 years at Thrasio, which is the largest ever aggregator who acquired a lot of Amazon brands. And today he's the data solutions manager at Podium, which is a marketplace marketing agency. So now you know why we want to get as much out of him as possible. So last time he was on the show, he covered three data points that he tracks very closely and what he does with it when the changes occur. And today we're going to pick up from that conversation and then add more to it. So with that, everybody, meet my guest, Cameron Harper. Welcome to the show again, Cameron.
Hey, Nick. Thanks so much for having me back. It's always fun to share some of the tricks and tips that I've picked up along the way with your audience. And yeah, really excited to be here. So thanks so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you again. So let's now dive into this. So last time we covered average order value, conversion rate, and also traffic. And we were talking about what you do with the fluctuations in data. So we're going to cover that today. But also, for our listeners, I want to set up the conversation so they know what's coming. And that we're going to dig into the search query performance. And this is a fairly recent release by Amazon. And it's extremely valuable. And it tells you the full story about where your business is coming from. But how do you use this? And what are some things that you do with the data? And when you do them? And things like that. So we'll get into that. So pretty much anything that we discuss, that you hear in this show, you can go immediately apply and then see what kind of a difference it makes. So that's what we're going to do. So Cameron, we covered AOV, traffic, and conversion. Now, every day you get this report from Business Reports and then you can see what the numbers are. But the numbers are going up or down. So when do you actually act on it?
Yeah, good question. So I think, you know, operating it like a daily basis can be a little bit tricky. During tentpole events, stuff like Prime Day or Turkey Five or some of these, you know, really boom bust times of year, then you're in there every single day really watching things like a hawk and fine-tuning things either manually, or you have an automated or an AI system that's doing things for you frequently. But typically I would say a weekly cadence is enough for most people to jump in if you see a metric trending down or trending up. Do some proper analysis into, you know, why is our conversion rate dipping? Is it an inventory issue? Is it a third-party seller coming in on our listing and at a lower price and suddenly we're losing sales? And there's a lot of different reasons that can make those metrics go up and down. So you have to do a little bit of investigative work. But operating, I would say, like a weekly cadence is typically enough to establish a strong baseline and have a successful business on Amazon, for sure.
Okay. So when you say weekly and then take action, what you are referring to is, let's say, for example, take easy one, your traffic is 500 sessions a day, every day. So first of all, are you fetching the report for a week or are you fetching it daily for a week?
Yeah, so we fetch it daily, and then we will kind of like sit down, look at, you know, if you see something dip, then it takes some time to do the analysis and like actually produce from when you saw the dip to create the action to you know, turn things around or do more of what is working well. Not all things trend negatively, but it takes a little bit of time to actually produce the action depending on whatever it is that caused a dip, you know, an increase or decrease of that metric.
Okay, so that means that you're going to fetch the report daily and you're not going to do anything if 500 sessions on day one goes to 400 sessions on day two. You're not going to do anything. You're going to wait a week and you're going to see 500, 400, 480, 520, 360. And then you're going to see what's happening. What is the, so you're going to have some kind of a trend calculation and see what the overall trend is. And then if the trend is going down, then you're going to say, okay, what's going on here? That's what you mean, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to kind of establish that baseline in a trend. And again, I think the cadence for that trend, a good cadence is weekly and just looking at things. Cause if you have, you know, any one day can be thrown out, but typically a weekly kind of like trend, week over week, looking back, we typically look back around nine periods is what we've found to be kind of the sweet spot for take into account a little bit of seasonality or if there was a big sale in the recent past. But 9 weeks is, I think, a pretty good spot to have as kind of like your look back to give you reference for, okay, this week, how did I do and how far back should I look to compare? And then obviously year over year can be really helpful. But there's so much that can happen in a year with e-com, especially with introducing new products and so forth, that sometimes year over year actually isn't like all that helpful. So you have to take year over year with a little bit of a grain of salt.
I mean, 9 weeks is, I mean, it will tell you the story, but 9 weeks, let's say, for example, especially if you're selling seasonal products, right? So, for example, looking at 9 weeks back at the end of December versus looking at 9 weeks back at the end of September, as there's a huge difference, right? So,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Then you're probably looking at monthly.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the point you're making is there really is no magic bullet where you look at this and then you do this. You have to really take into account other factors and then overall look back 9 weeks and then look at it and monitor weekly. And then investigate if there are fluctuations going on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of why I believe there will kind of like always be a human touch in the actual management of brands online and products. And you need some of that kind of intuition that people have about either products launching or, you know, reasons why something was delayed in a, maybe there was a mismatch in when your marketing budget got approved, but when your product actually launched and you couldn't line things up perfectly. And like, there's so much that goes into it. So you always kind of have to have that intuition and touch and extra information that you can bring in to provide context on, okay, what am I looking at? Why does it look like this versus that?
Yeah. So now, taking this methodology that you suggested, you can, in fact, apply this to any metric. So really, what that means is there are several. I mean, you mentioned the three data points, AOV, traffic, and conversion. But really, there are other metrics, like, for example, your ACOS, ACOS, ROAS, same thing, or your TACOS. And there are many other metrics like units sold, your total sales. And so make a list of all the metrics that you want to stay on top of. And then apply your methodology to fetch them daily, track them in terms of trend, for sure. That's a whole different discussion, you know, how do you determine trend? I said, we're not going to get into it. You have to determine what the trend is as you track it daily, fetch it daily. And then look at it on weekly basis, what happened during that week, and then compare that to the past 9 weeks or the past 8 weeks altogether, making it 9 weeks. Yep. And that will tell you the whole story about how you are performing in that particular area that the metric is associated with, right?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, absolutely. Obviously, you know, reporting is such a funny thing. That's something I've definitely dug into more at my time here at Padean and managing a wide variety of clients around the globe. You know, some want to report on fiscal year, some want to in their fiscal year is in calendar year and so forth. So I think that that nine kind of like 9 week or nine periods is really helpful just because it kind of gives you a bearing of how did I get to where I am today and looking at shipping times and things like that. There's a lot you kind of are running like a mini business in that 9 week period. So yeah, I would say that that's like a great starting point for individuals is like figure out and be able to analyze things roughly at you know, a quarterly cadence or quarterly look back and say, okay, this quarter, how do we do? And then obviously your quarters turn into halves and then your halves turn into years. And then you've got your pretty standard, you know, reporting that happens in, I would say 99% of businesses around the world. But on Amazon, yeah, that look back, I think for us tends to be enough context to get a bearing on this thing that we're looking at, the snapshot today. How is it relative to like what got us here?
Cool. Okay. So let's now dive into this new ocean of search query performance. So first tell us where people can find it and what's in it. And then we'll get into how we use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So pretty straightforward to find. It's just, you know, nestled within your Seller Central in your business reports. And you do have to have brand ownership in order to be able to access it. So that's one important piece. You know, if you're a seller, sells a lot of different things, but you don't have the ability to manage a storefront or manage a brand on Amazon, you're not going to have access to this tool. But if you do, which I would say is probably the majority of most FBA businesses at this point, it's a really, really powerful tool. And one that I think can help you make sense of, like we said, you know, in the previous episode, looking at these three metrics and watching them rise and fall and say, okay, something's happening with this. I need to go do the investigative work. Well, the search query performance report is one of those tools that you can turn to really understand, because Amazon is such a search based shopping experience. You know, it's not somewhere necessarily that people go like a Pinterest to just kind of like peruse and window shop. Granted, people are going to do that. It's really the mechanisms of Amazon are based around search. I think it's somewhere around like 80 or 90% of all their revenue comes off of their search bar. So when Amazon brought this search query performance report to light and gave access to it through Seller Central to all sellers, I think that was a big kind of like watershed moment for the FBA community in feeling like, okay, now I can really start to understand my business and my brand or my product relative to these search queries, knowing that that was kind of always the holy grail and part of why so many different analysis tools like Helium 10, Jungle Scout, Cobalt, DataHawk exist out there, is to try to help people make sense of all the queries, the search volume, the revenue by search term, and so forth on Amazon. So this search query performance report is super powerful. And provided to us by Amazon. So, you know, straight from the source, and it's a really, really great tool.
Yeah. So you have to be a brand registered seller for this. And then as far as its location, you have to go to brands. And then as soon as you click brands, that first option, I believe the way they did it is a little bit weird, because when you land on the, it says brand analytics. So under brands, the sub menu shows brand analytics. And when you select that, That is, in fact, the search query performance, right? So they don't, in fact, say search query performance in the menu. But when you land on the page, it's titled search query performance. However, on that page where it says search query performance, you have a sub-navigation bar. And on that bar, if you click, you have different options. And one of them is catalog performance. And of course, one of them is search query performance. And then there is one more. I forget.
It's what it market basket analysis.
That's it. Market basket analysis. So, but this, the first option, brand analytics in the Seller Central menu, puts you on search query performance. But on the search query performance navigation, this is, in fact, the second option. So if you want to go back to it, it's kind of weird. I don't know the logic that they followed. So it's just for our listeners. I just want to clarify, make sure you know how to navigate your way to search query performance. So on that search query performance page, you have brand view and you have ASIN view.
Yep.
So which one do you use?
I use both, honestly. I think the majority of like day to day, or at least for like competitive analysis, I'm typically looking at the brand performance. That helps give me kind of like a view of, okay, my brand, what are the top 1,000 queries for my brand on Amazon, and how do I stack up? And within that search query performance report for both ASIN and brand, they break it down into a search funnel. So it's like, you know, kind of any marketing funnel. You start at the very top and you have impressions, and then you have clicks, and then you have add to carts, and then you have your purchase. That's like the holy grail of the funnel, right? That's the very bottom. When somebody becomes a purchase, then you try to put them back through it. So when you're on the search query performance report, you're going to see your impressions, and you're going to see for each query, so each search essentially, or search term, you're going to see the term, you're going to see your brand, the number of queries where your brand was, you know, scored an impression. And then you also get a metric that shows you the total number of impressions for that that query. So then you start to get to your metrics where you see your brand versus the entire number of impressions, so that you can see your impression share by brand. And then the same exact logic gets applies to each stage of the funnel, where you can see your, you know, click share by brand, you can see your add to cart share by brand, you can see your purchase rate. And as you look at each chunk of the funnel, you can kind of do your own independent analysis and say, okay, relative, you know, for let's take the top 1,000 keywords, let's maybe filter out some that we feel are kind of garbage, and let's maybe just try to build a list of 100 and say these 100 are the ones that are most important to us. We're going to track them on a weekly. It's also worth noting that in the search query performance, you have weekly, monthly, and quarterly export. You know, you can kind of aggregate the data in that report at the weekly, monthly, or quarterly level. So you can't pull this thing daily if you even wanted to. Well, you could pull it daily, but you would just be backdating a week from that day. So yeah, you can take each piece of the funnel and take a look at, okay, how does my brand for these, you know, let's say, you know, my 100 most important terms, how do we kind of like rank with our, you know, brand percent on impressions? And then let's take a look at the click. Oh, wow, maybe we perform really, really well with impressions. So I would take that as like our SEO probably looks pretty good. Maybe our PPC campaigns are really high. Like, we're serving a lot of impressions. And it's also important to note in the search query performance that the impressions are inclusive of both organic and paid. So it's not just like the search query performance report is just the organic impressions or just the paid impressions, because you can already get a lot of that paid impression off of your advertising console. But what's nice with the search query performance report is it aggregates those two. So you can see, okay, all of the impressions that I'm getting on this term, what is that number? And, you know, how much am I relative to the competition? And yeah, really, really powerful. And then I would say, once you dig into the Swartz Corey performance report and start to understand what share your brand has, and again, we're kind of just focusing right now on the brand specific piece of Swartz Corey performance. You can start to use some of those great tools out there like Helium 10, DataHawk, or Jungle Scout to help you understand, okay, on this really important term, I might only be 20% of the impression volume or the click volume. I want to go out there and see who the competitors are who are likely taking up that other 80%. So you can start to look at share of voice on those terms and really start to quantify and understand truly who the competitor is on those most important terms and track over time your ability to improve share of voice or your impression share. But there's a lot of different things that you can do with the Search Query Performance Report. And one of the other things I really like is it's tough and it takes a lot of time. So I think a lot of people probably don't get into the weeds quite this much, but you can also start to understand with the Search Query Performance Report how much of your organic sales you're cannibalizing with your paid your PPC, so your like paid media on Amazon, where if you reduce your marketing on a search term, but you see your sales stay the same, that's probably a good indicator, or your add to cart stay the same, your impressions stay the same. It's a good indicator that you're probably paying for a top five placement that you're getting anyway. So you might be actually like spending money to have that like top of search placement from a sponsored ad that maybe you don't necessarily need to pay quite as much because you're looking at that search term within the Search Query Performance Report. Your product or your brand is already surfacing very, very highly for that. So you're kind of like double dipping, which can be good when you look at share of voice and you're like, hey, I search men's, let's say men's sandals, and my product is featured 20 or 30 times across that page, then you essentially have ownership of that. That's
Yeah.
kind of the holy
So,
grail on Amazon, is to completely own a search term.
yeah. So, what you are referring to is somebody searches a particular term and listings come up. Of course, right at the top, you have the sponsored products. And then somewhere close to the top, the organic listings start to show. And the scenario you're referring to is your own sponsored product listing appears at the top, and then also right underneath, your organic appears because you have good ranking. And that's where you are thinking, what's the point, right? Because if you are already ranking well, why do you want to bid on those? That's what you are getting at, right?
And I would say also, like, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. In my former kind of like e-commerce management life, we used to do this all the time on Google. People would say, why are you bidding on your own branded, your branded terms on Google, so that when somebody searches your brand on Google, you're the first thing that pops up. But it might seem counterintuitive, but by placing ads on a search term that you either own or is a branded term, I would say is still important to some degree, because you're keeping out competition from being able to come in and easily place, sponsored product ads for a very low bid, and then suddenly your branded term is monopolized by a company who's just outspending you for that sponsored placement. So it can help keep your bids in check, but again, I would just say that with a grain of salt for anybody out there who might suddenly be planning to take a look at all of their PPC and say, hey, where can we lower budgets based on our organic rank? Keep in mind that that does mean that competition can probably move in a little bit easier.
So I have a question. Where do you, so what the scenario at the beginning, the scenario you described is you look at the search term in the search query performance, and then you identify those where you have a high percentage of the brand impression share, right? So what that means is Amazon decided that your listing content had useful information relevant to that particular search term. So therefore, they rank you high. And of course, when you rank high, you get more of the clicks. The brand impression share is much higher. So the scenario is take those search terms where you have high brand impression share and then go check who is the competition for that same search term. And then try to get even better. So that way you basically steal their share of the impressions, right? So that's the goal. Tell us the practical way to see who else is coming up on those search terms. What's the best way?
Yeah, so I mean, one tool I like is honestly like using Jungle Scout and Cobalt for looking at share of voice. You can plug in a search term and see immediately kind of like who has share of voice on that search page, which is a pretty simple, you know, you leverage Seller Central, you build your list of terms, and you see your brand share, and you can start seeing, you know, maybe you thought you should be, your brand share would be a lot higher for a term either you've been spending on, or you just assumed it is baked into the SEO of all your listings. And you go, wow, that, you know, maybe my brand share is 20%, and that looks pretty low to me compared to some of my other branded or kind of like very closely related search terms. And then you can, you know, pivot to some of those third party tools to really help you understand exactly. You can also just straight go to Amazon and start searching them on your machine. That's obviously the cheapest way, a little bit more manual, and a little bit tougher to track over time, which is where those tools become really helpful, where they can automatically kind of like track some of these share of voice metrics on specific keywords over time, so that you don't have to do it as manually. But hey, like, I'm a big fan of like jump in, get your hands dirty and try it. And you can always do that.
Once you determine, okay, let's say that you have three other ASINs that are coming up regularly, which means yep. that you're taking. So what do you do with it?
It's a great question. You can, another piece with the search query performance is it can help you understand like where you may have some SEO gaps in your listings. So you can start to fine tune the creative or fine tune the copy of your listing to help you start to organically rank better. You can also, you know, obviously talk to your, if you have a PPC team or a marketing team internally, you can talk to them and say, hey, you know, this search term is really, really crucial for us. I understand that, you know, the ROAS might not be quite where we want, but we really want to try and get our kind of like brand impression share higher on, you know, these five or these six keywords, because they seem to be the ones that are driving XYZ, you know, bestseller badge or whatever the tactic is that you're trying to deploy. I was part of the product launch team at Thrasio, and that's one of those conversations you'd always have, is like coming out of the gates, things aren't going to necessarily look super great on paper because you're trying to get a new product out there and you have to do a lot of things that don't look very profitable. But you need to do them in order to get that velocity and get that organic rank going, so that then you can, you know, over time start to peel back hopefully on some of your PPC, so that you aren't solely dependent on marketing all the time.
Yeah. So ultimately identifying those other ASINs that are taking brand share from you, impression share from you, you want to compare your SEO performance against theirs, which means their content versus your content. And then also another thing is conversion, of course. So on that particular search term, if they are converting better than you, then obviously Amazon is going to give them more of the impression share. So you want to compare their visuals, you know, whether it's their video or their pictures, their A+. So it's simply you try to do what they do, which is where they are sharing the top spot with you. So the more you do better in the area that they are doing better, so that's going to get you more. Okay. Yeah. So I want to tell our listeners something. Why are we talking about the impression share? You know, I used to say until a few weeks ago that there are two magic bullets for success on Amazon. One of them is the conversion rate. The other is the click-through rate.
Yeah.
But in fact, they are secondary, in my opinion, to the brand impression share. Because by increasing your brand impression share, that's where the scale is, right? Because it doesn't matter if your conversion rate goes up, let's say 30%. Very hard, but imagine 30%. All you are doing is it makes a huge difference to the bottom line. But at the end of the day, your audience that you are converting from is the same audience. But what the impression share does is it grows the size of that audience, right? So think about this. If you are converting at 20% and it's fairly consistent, you make that 20%, 30%, it's going to be a big effort. But if you increase the size of the pie that comes to your product page, that's already a huge deal. And that comes from the impression share, right? So that's why
absolutely
so important. And frankly, it is more important than conversion and click-through. Would you agree?
I don't know if I would 100% agree, but it definitely, if you're able to get a lot of impressions, I think it's a very good indicator that you're going after not just the like ultra niche search terms and owning an ultra niche search term. You're actually starting to get traction on the, you know, coveted like top level queries that happen on Amazon, where, you know, the saturation of brands who are competing for those, you know, your search impression share on a top level keyword might be a fraction of a percent, whereas something that's a little bit more niche or specific to your type of brand could be, you know, all the way up to 80 or 90%. Right. So yeah, it depends. It's not a great analogy, but people, you know, there's, you know, people who always say, would you rather have 10% of a $100 million piece of pie, or would you rather have like 100% of a $10,000 piece of pie? And you're like, well, or, you know, pie. And it's like, well, it depends. Well, you want to be a big fish in a small sea or a small fish in a big sea.
I have a question for my listeners. Are you experiencing cash flow challenges with your Amazon business? Well, silly question. Who is not, right? So let me introduce you to Viably, a unique solution tailored for Amazon sellers and e-commerce enterprises. By connecting your Seller Central or Shopify account, you can promptly access funding along with a variety of financial tools, all for a flat fee. It's as simple as that. And for my listeners, they are offering an extra $1,500 in funding for eligible applications. Start your quick and easy application today at runviably.com/legends. And that's runviably.com/legends. My approach is this. So first of all, you know, like I said, it's two magic bullets. Yep. But now we have this third one. So you can have 50% brand impression share. But if your click-through rate is low, it's not going to mean anything, right? So, yeah, I mean, frankly, Amazon won't let that happen, because unless your click-through is high, they're not going to give you more and more impressions. So the next thing would be the click-through rate. So if you work on these methodically, where you target specific to keywords, so these keywords I want to own, I want to get the highest impression share, I want to get the highest click-through rate, and I want to get the highest cart add and purchase rate, then that's basically brick by brick, you're building this whole, if you like, foundation to generate revenues. But when you do this, then that impression share goes up a tiny percent. When you have millions of people every day looking at it, that's where the scale is. That's what excites me.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's a super great call out. And I think like to come back into the search query performance report for a second and look at, you know, a lot of what we've talked about is that brand search term report. And within that brand search term report, one thing I want to kind of hone in on for just a second is like looking at individual products. Oftentimes within any brand, there will be search terms that are fairly product specific within that report. And I would say that's like a really good time to pivot over to the ASIN analyzer within search query performance, where you can start to, you know, you actually plug in an ASIN and it will give you the top 100 search terms for that particular ASIN. So that's another way when you're looking at a search term that maybe is more specific to a subset of your products, like a product line or a product style, you can start to look at those products in the ASIN analyzer and see if that term comes up underneath any of those products as you're kind of doing a reverse search by looking at those products to see if that term comes up. And then you can say, okay, well, I should probably take these products in this kind of like subset of my catalog and fine tune the SEO or fine tune things about this, because those are probably going to be where I'm going to be able to gain the most traction on that search term in the like brand report by yeah. using or leveraging this subset of products to, you know, take the most frictionless route to get to that success, to the holy grail of, you know, tons yeah. and tons of impressions.
So, and another thing that Amazon has done, if you switch to the ASIN view, then it kind of becomes tedious because you have to then select the SKU, then select yep. the week and the week now. So it becomes a few more selections. But when you do that and then you get the numbers up, it gives you exactly the same view, the keywords on the site, and then you have the impressions and blah, blah. But this time, when you click on the keyword, it puts you on another page. And on that page, it shows you the top three ASINs that you are yep. competing. So, I mean, that's huge. And you can go SKU by SKU and see who is doing and their price points and what kind of click-through rate they are getting and what kind of, I mean, you're getting everything about your competition, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's one other piece we didn't really touch on, but within those funnel kind of like chunks where you have your impression, click, add to cart, and purchase, it also shows you the average price of the product that's performing the best at each one of those stages, which I think can also be a really insightful just kind of like level set where you can see, okay, for this search term, my brand's average price might be $60, but for the like purchase, the average price is $12. So there's, I think, a good indicator that, okay, well, for this search term, my products or my brand definitely must be in kind of like that premium. I'm doing a good job at getting impressions maybe, or doing a good job at getting people to add it to cart. But it turns out at the end of the day, the people who are trying or purchasing on that term are typically purchasing something that's quite a bit cheaper. So maybe that's a good time as a brand to take a look at your value propositions or how you present your product in order to be able to kind of like tip people from, say, a $10 item to something that's a little bit more premium, if that's the way that you slot in. Or, you know, if you're coming in at a lower price point, that can be a good indicator of like, hey, look, these, you know, for this search term, we feel we can come in and maybe undercut with a lower priced option that's still, you know, great value and yeah. capture a lot of the yeah. Purchases.
I have a bit of a different approach on this. So having that price next to your, whether it's click-through rate or cart add rate or purchase rate, yep. So you are able to see. So, I mean, clearly, if you are priced at $100 and your purchase rate is, let's say, I don't know, 18%, and then you're going to see market rate is maybe 34%. It's almost double. And then you're going to see that medium price for the market is $28. So what does that mean? I mean, obviously, they are lower priced. They're going to get more. So I say this. So what? How much money are you making? Look at that.
Totally.
yeah.
Yeah. Right. How much meat is there on the bone? Not much.
I have a client. They sell this. I may have mentioned this on the first episode. They sell these floor kits, epoxy floor kits. So you can buy their kit, which comes in a box that's as big as a chair. So yeah. Just so you know, every time they send a shipment to an FBA shipment to Amazon, every box is one SKU, one piece. Wow. So that's how big it is. Well, I mean, all their FBA shipments, LTL, plus it's dangerous goods. So it has to go outside. So, but the point is, each item, they have two different sizes, 300 square foot and 600 square foot. And the 600 square foot costs $650. So nobody else on Amazon is selling a kit. They all sell the epoxy. Yep. So the keywords are pretty much the same. So guess what? Their purchase rate is far, far greater than theirs. But who cares? They make one sale. You know, with that one sale, they kill in terms of profitability. They kill in terms of top line. And, you know, their conversion rate is obviously, they in fact achieve conversion on, they have different colors. So some colors get like 12, 15% conversion.
Yeah, which that's is, awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad, but generally it's about 1.5%, 2%. So usually I would look at those numbers without looking at the price points. It's very poor because I want 35 to 50% in conversion. Yeah. But in this case, so so to your point, more information in front of you in terms of putting perspective to what search query performance is showing you is something to look at. So Cameron, I want to go back to the main search query performance. So we covered the brand impression share. Next comes the click-through rate, where what is the percentage? Again, just looking at that percentage, how are you using that? What are some things you do with it?
I mean, it's quite similar to impressions. Honestly, it's for us, it's really just gauging how relevant the products are that we're serving for any given search term. And then, you know, with the click-through rate, it's a little tricky, but you know that those first two kind of like buckets of the funnel are pre-product page. So you know that the amount of content that you're able to serve or able to change in order to try and improve maybe some of those metrics, it's very limited. It's typically title and maybe a couple bullets or your listing image. But yeah, looking at that impression in click, it's really analyzing the SERP page. So analyzing the you know, you go to Amazon, search the query that you're looking at in Seller Central and say like, what's going on here? And look at the competition, look at what might cause people to click elsewhere versus where you are. I don't want to say like totally cut and dry, but really the search query performance and looking at the impressions and clicks is really just trying to derive how is our, you know, my product or this brand's products doing or my this brand doing on this query relative to what else is out there.
So applying your logic to this, actually, this could be pretty powerful. If you select the search terms in the search query performance report that have the highest impression share, and then tweak your main product picture to kind of encourage people who use that search term to click on it more, that would be one way to increase your click-through rate on those, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the single, and I can say this coming from, I previously worked as a creative at Amazon too. So I understand the creative side of things. If I had like one nugget of gold, it would be like the single most important piece of creative to any Amazon listing is the MLP. It's the main listing photo. because it gets added to so many different places across the web, across Amazon. And that's really where, you know, that's your digital shelf. It's the packaging when you walk into a store and you're looking at cleaners and there's an entire aisle and your bottle sitting there in bright yellow where everything else might be white or blue, and people are drawn to the thing that stands out. That can definitely really help improve specifically on click. Obviously impressions a little bit different. Clicks leads into impressions. If your click through rate looks great, then of course you're going to be starting to serve more. But yeah, click, man, MLP is like the holy grail of getting people to click for sure.
Yeah. So is something that all of you guys listening, do this right away. I mean, I'm going to do this myself for one of my clients. Go pick the top search terms in the search query performance that have high brand impression share, and then take those search terms and then go plug it into Amazon search. Look at the competition and then get some inspiration on how you can modify your main picture to suit those search terms. Whatever that search term is, put something of it in the product picture. That's going to increase your click-through rate just on those search terms, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and means- the rules that Amazon puts up around MLPs are strict, and it's kind of a black box and really tricky. But yeah, I would always encourage people, any Amazon seller, to take a good long look at the competitive landscape from an MLP perspective, that SERP page, the product wall, relative to the search terms that are important to you or important to your, you know, your strategy for growth on Amazon. How does your MLP stack up is crucial.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So then the next two metrics are the cart add rate and the purchase rate. So let's talk about those. How do you use those?
Yeah, great question. So the add to cart and purchase, you know, I think for me, the assumption, you know, again, because this is the search query performance report, we know that this is encompassing of people who have seen our product on search and then navigated to likely a product page. The add to cart, if your add to cart is low, I think that's a good indicator that, you know, if your impression's high, your click's high, you probably, whatever you're doing with your title and your image and your ads, or like your PPC strategy, you're hitting the nail on the head by saying, for this search, my product is best because people are clicking on it and those metrics are high. And then if you look at your add to cart and your add to cart's quite low, there's a number of different factors that can lead into that. Obviously, if you have an out of stocks situation, then that can severely change your add to cart rate. Yeah, really look at your content. Make sure that the search terms that your impression share or your click share are very high and very healthy. You're following up that messaging. Make there be continuity in the content from that very first search page all the way down to your product page is crucial. And that's like a good word for the wise, like in e-commerce in general, like continuity across content and messaging is extremely important in being able to drive a person all the way down the funnel quickly and have them feel assured that the product they bought was what they were looking for. So yeah, with add to cart, look at your content. Look at, you know, are there upsells that you can do? Is this like an ancillary product to a hero product, or is this the hero product itself? What are some things that you can get people to add other things or deals? You know, there's always deals. You can flash deals in front of consumers, and if you're going after a keyword for a set period of time, like throw a deal on there. You know, put all of that Amazon arsenal on being able to improve a listing score, a bestseller rank together at the same time and really try to hit the nail on the head. So that's how I look at add to cart purchase. Purchase a little bit different. Obviously, like Sony adds it to cart, it can sit there for a long time. And there's a number of different tactics you can use. You can send brand, you know, brand or product specific promotions to people who have your products in their cart to try to get people down that kind of like last piece of the funnel. Hopefully you're Prime eligible. If not, like obviously think that's something for everybody to look into if they're doing FBA, is make sure that like your products are able to get into people's hands the fastest, because that's always going to help your add to cart and purchase rate, even your click percent. If somebody sees something that's Prime versus something that's not Prime, they know that they're getting that fast. And fast only helps improve the you know, the metrics or improve the numbers across the board.
Yeah. So as far as cart ad, there's a couple of little practical tricks that I've seen sellers do. For example, your price. So there is a way to display your price. And for this, you need to have a little bit of a history of displaying at a certain price. So I'm sure that you know, on certain listings, there is a strike through price, and then there is a different price shown. So that requires for you to list the item at a price, and then after a while, you change the current price in the listing, then it will simply do that. So that is encouraging, because usually it's this much and now it's this much. So X percent off. So that's one. And another thing that I have seen people do is those clip-on coupons. First of all, those coupons are displayed already in search results. So it says X percent of coupon available, and when you land on the product page, you want to click on it. So when you click on it, it immediately applies the discount. So of course, in order to do that, you need to add to cart. So that's another way to encourage people to add to cart. So, and another one that you can do is there is a you know, you can create a coupon code or create a promotion, and then they are displayed on under special promotions. And right under the price, it shows the dollar sign and then says special promotions available. So when you click it, it sends you down. So most Amazon shoppers know that if they see that, there's something. So those are little tricks that you can apply tactically to encourage people to add to cart. And then once it's added to cart, then of course, then the next step is to get them to check out. But you know, one, again, practical trick that I have seen myself on some of the things that I have done. If you change your price, like minor change, like pennies, Amazon will show the shopper the price in your cart has been reduced. So it's another way to remind people, look, this one is now something. So you can do those things. And what I have seen that I think is very significant, one of the recent releases, if you go to advertising, and under advertising, there is a menu option right at the bottom called brand tailored promotions. And one of those, and when you land on the page and click create campaign, it will give a list of all the promotions Amazon offers. And one of them is for brands with so many items in the cart. So it's basically, it shows you all the customers who put your item in the cart but haven't yet checked out. So you can create a campaign and then create a coupon, and then that will send. But what I like there is it shows the number. Shows the number of
absolutely
people.
Absolutely.
So just by seeing that number, you have an idea. Now you can then go tweak your price a little bit, and then every one of those people will get a notification that the price on this item has dropped. So you could also try those things.
That's a great tactic. I love that. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, cool. I mean, you know, we can talk data all day long, but obviously we're going to run out of time. So, Cameron, this is where I want to get to know the guests more. So I know in your case, your life changed recently. So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up and how you got into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, life has changed for me a lot between the last episode and this episode. I had my first child, which is an incredible experience. I'm actually still on paternity leave, which has been incredible to be able to have that time with my daughter. And I was born and raised in Salt Lake City. I went to the University of Utah, and I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to do. I knew that I loved the outdoors. Salt Lake City at the time when I was going to the University of Utah was the hub for the outdoor industry. Not long after I got into the industry, the hub kind of moved to Denver, and it's actually on its way back, which if you're from Salt Lake or have been to Utah, I'm so excited for, because I know that gives, you know, young individuals like myself 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the ability to tap into that industry. But I knew, you know, I was a ski instructor all through college. I worked two or three jobs and multiple internships while I was going to school, and just knew that I wanted to go into the outdoor space. I wanted to work in an industry where I could, I felt like the products that I was selling or that I was peddling were things that I love to do or things that I love to play with on a daily basis. So got my first job out of school working for an awesome kind of like tent and kind of gardening manufacturer here in Salt Lake City. It was cool. It was a very like sustainable lifestyle. We would do these massive tents, was a marketing coordinator. And that was like my first foray into digital marketing and trying to get products placed into magazines and online and understanding affiliate and how this all plays together. And from there, I moved to a local ski manufacturer, which I would say is like where I really cut my teeth is kind of that online digital and e-commerce manager, where I managed our direct sales. And I was kind of like the youngest and most technical person in the room. So they just said, here, if like our website needs to be redesigned, good luck. And from there, one thing led to another, continued to manage e-commerce sites for a number of European brands and a couple of online retailers. I was a marketing director for a actual really early Amazon Jeff Bezos startup called gear.com, which was a ton of fun rebranding and relaunching that to the world in 2018. And yeah, it's like one thing just kind of leads to another. I feel like I've been really fortunate in having a lot of serendipity in my career and making a lot of great connections that kind of will shoot me down a new direction that I find really exciting. And, you know, landed at Thrasio, went through a lot of change at Thrasio. I was part of a team based in Salt Lake City that managed all of our product launches, which was really, really exciting to launch, you know, hundreds of products in a calendar year. It felt like we were doing a new launch or multiple launches every single day for any one of our 200 plus brands. And over time, just started specializing in operations and systems. Again, being that kind of generalist, having managed e-commerce sites and getting into the nitty gritty on tools and like putting myself in a brand manager's shoes saying, I see some, you know, I see a metric go down. There's this bureaucratic in a really large organization about how we actually get to make an action to, you know, right the ship or do more of what's doing really good. And spent a lot of time at Thrasio working in systems and building operations in order to be able to, again, as I said, operationalize our product catalog so that we could manage, you know, 300,000 different ASINs the same way that a mom and pop would try to manage one or two ASINs. And being able to have that level of touch and attention to detail at such a large scale was a really, really fun project to be a part of. And ultimately what kind of like led me to my position here at Padean, which is a marketplace marketing agency where we manage some of the world's largest brands on Amazon. And being the kind of like data solutions manager and looking at the roadmap for reporting and just how we communicate success or failures of our products and our clients' products on Amazon, Walmart, Target, you know, all these different marketplaces is really, really fun. I like to build things. I like to get into the weeds and just figure out how to amplify the success of the products or the people or the team around me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're doing a great job. It takes a lot. But what I'm curious about is this. So you mentioned you love the outdoors and you were a skiing instructor and you love skiing. How does a skiing guy end up behind the desk working on numbers?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. If I go back and read any of my early journals, I'm a sucker for wordplay. And I would always say, like, I don't want to ever end up in any board meetings. And I spelt it B-O-R-E-D instead of B-O-A-R-D. Like, I was somebody who just wanted to spend. I actually spent years in college working, sewing paragliders. I worked for a paragliding company and, like, managed their shop and was actually sitting in a sewing machine and loved that. But I'm pretty pragmatic. And as much as I absolutely love the outdoor industry, I don't want to sound too, you know, high and mighty or whatever, but like at the end of the day, we're all trying to sell a product and there's still, you know, tons and tons of excess being created all over the place. And it's no industry I would say necessarily is holier than thou. And at the end of the day, for me, it honestly kind of came down to compensation. Like the outdoor industry is an incredible place, but wasn't necessarily somewhere I could raise a family, at least at the level that I was at in the trajectory I was on. So kind of took a step back and found some other verticals that I was still incredibly interested in and felt like added, you know, tools and skill sets to me as an individual. Yeah, now I jokingly, you know, previously used to call Amazon the beast and still do to some degree. I now tell everybody, yeah, I work, you know, work for the beast at this point. Like they own and are e-commerce, at least in the United States. And it's good to feel like I'm still kind of on like the cutting edge of e-commerce. And who knows, maybe I'll end up in the outdoor industry. I still consult here and there for a number of outdoor brands. So I keep one toe in the water to keep me excited and make sure that I have a nice pair of skis or a good bike strapped to my feet when I'm in the mountains.
Well, you know, the way I see it is this. One of the biggest attractions of doing things outdoors is the action, right? So there's a lot of moving about and there's a lot of action and it's out of that action comes excitement. So, I mean, frankly, there is a lot more action happening on the internet when it comes to data and movements and all the things that one thing happens, that so many things change. And so there is a lot more action. If you're really attracted to action, well, look at this action here with the numbers, as long as you are a numbers-oriented person, which you are, obviously. So
yes,
it's not that different. The only difference is you're sitting.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to stay curious. I think like it took me a while to figure out how to kind of like tap into maybe the more athletic or outdoor oriented side and unlock the curiosity for stuff online. But once I did, I think it obviously like really helped propel my career in the direction that it is today. But yeah, maybe now I get to enjoy the outdoors a little bit more now that it's not necessarily looked at like a paycheck. So, yeah, there's a little bit of like a, you know, yin yang to the whole thing. But yeah, it's fun to still have those as my passions and be able to work for a company and in an industry that allows me to still enjoy those passions. It's tons of fun.
Yeah, cool. Great. Thank you, Cameron. So share with us your contact information. How can people reach you?
Yeah, people can reach me on LinkedIn. Pretty easy to find. Thank goodness for my parents. It's just Cameron Harper, Cameron with a K. So I come up pretty fast. I don't think my parents knew search engines or anything like that. But hey, it works out well in the world of SERP to have a, a fairly unique name. But yeah, definitely would encourage people to reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's like, you know, I'm on there. I tend to be pretty active. I've been pretty quiet in my paternity leave, but definitely intend on getting back and immersing in the community a lot more in the coming weeks as I tap back into the world. Yeah, that's the best place to get a hold of me.
Great, great. This is a great conversation. For anybody listening, please, wherever you see this, especially on YouTube, post a comment. I want to hear from people who take some of the things we discussed and then actually apply it and share with us what kind of an impact they made. You know, whether your click-through rate went up or your impression share went up. I'd love to hear. But this is the most exciting part to me. So you just come up with an idea, make a few changes, and then bang. So it's a great yep. conversation. Thank you for being here, Cameron.
Yeah, thanks so much, Nick. It's been a ton of fun. And if anybody has any questions about the SQP, the Search Query Performance Report, like definitely don't hesitate to reach out. Happy to send along any resources or rehash some tips and tricks. So thanks great. So much.
Before I go, a quick reminder to say goodbye to your cash flow problems and claim your extra $1,500 when you qualify for $25,000 or more in funding. Go to www.runviably.com/legends and start your application today. Thank you. And this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you in the next one.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.